Nos hem anat listening anyway, but
s'acaba.
The recall of Aliyah next to the microphone. So we're going to get page 248, Yoel, Perek Gimel, Pasik. We're in the middle of Pasik, Pasik Gimel, towards the end of here. I'm sorry, towards Yemolid. It's the last Pasik of the Perek. And that's Pasik Hey. Now let's focus. Something very deep over here. The Rahu, all the nations of the world will seek Yishem Hashem, the name of Hashem is Nikra. What's Nikra? What's the literal translation of Nikra? Nikra, it's called. It's called upon you. How is it called upon us? So the tefillin, we all know that the tefillin has etched on the tefillin the shin, the letter Dalid and the letter Yud. The shin is on the tefillah shel Rosh. The Dalid is the kesher in the back of the head. And the Yud is the kesher on the tefillah shel Yad. Together it spells the shame, Shakai. So when they see that, they see that Shakai, Hashem's name, is read upon Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they wear the tefillin. And through the tefillin, we see the three letters, Shin, Dalit, Yud, Shakai. They're going to be afraid of us. Question, what in the world does Shakai have to do with the Umo Yisraelim being afraid of us? What's the connection? So this is a very nice idea. I saw this recently. Actually, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I got a sefer. I bought a little sefer there. And this sefer, it says this idea, explains this thing which I never understood. Finally, I was zeicha to understand this idea. The Shem Shakai, there are many, many perushim in the significance, the depth of the Shem Shakai. One of the themes of Shakai is the theme of Yiras Shomayim. In fact, there are two different mitzvah objects which we have upon which we have the word the Shem Hashem Shakai, tefillin, and mezuzah. Right? And every mezuzah, on the outside of the mezuzah, it's written the letters Shakai. Why is mezuzah and why our tefillin, why are these two mitzvahs, do we have the Shem Hashem Shakai? There are so many Shemos of Hashem. There's Yudke Vavke, there's Elokim, there's Sivakos, there is Ka. Why do we specifically have the Shem Shakai? So the answer is, where is the earliest source of Yirah Shemayim? The earliest source of Yirah Shemayim comes from Briyas HaOlam. Hashem, in the beginning, created Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Es HaAretz. Question. The Shemayim, the Aretz, were not created on day one. The Shemayim, the Aretz, were created on day four. On day four, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into orbit the Me'oros, the Shemesh, the Areach. So how could there be Vayihi Or on day one, Shemayim, the Aretz, Vayim Elokim Yihi Or, when it says that the Shemayim, that the sun, the moon, the Me'or HaGadol, and the Me'or HaKotoin, and the Kechavim, were all put into place on day four. Something doesn't make sense. So who asked this question? Rashi asked this question. What does Rashi answer? Rashi says that on day one, the Shemayim was created and put into place, whatever that means, but it was soft. It was not firm. Soft-boiled egg. Now, I don't know what that means exactly. It was whatever it means. It was not
raw material,
and it was there, and it was or vayom lekim yihi or. It existed. The world, the shemayim, all the heavenly bodies were there, but it was not firm. On day four, Rashi says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yihi me'oros birakia hashemayim lehoyer liyom v'layla and chulu. There should be the mor hagadol, the mor hakotoyin, shnei me'oros hagedolim. All of these things, Rashi there says, when Hashem shouted, Hashem gave a shout, whatever the shout was, that there should be the sun, the moon, the stars, everything should be in place, then the heavens became firm. They turned hard. It hardened. Due to the ga'aras, the shout of Hashem. So the Chazal is a very famous Chazal. This is the makor of Yiras Shomayim. Why do, when a person has a nisoyon and he decides not to do an avera, do we call that an expression of Yiras Shomayim? It should be called Yiras Odom, Yiras Hashem. Odom is afraid of Hashem. Man is afraid of Hashem. Yiras Hashem. Yiras Elokim, or the year that Adam expresses. Why? Where did the word Shamayim get involved in this issue that has nothing to do with the heaven? Heaven is just an object of Hashem's creation. The answer is, before man came on the scene, the principle, the concept of fear of heaven already existed. Where did it exist? When Hashem gave a shout at the heavens, you should be put in place. And Rashi says at that moment, the softness of the heaven turned hard. It froze. It froze out of fear from Hashem. So the Shamayim was the first object in creation that expressed fear of Hashem in response to Hashem shouting at it. Okay? That's why every time a person has a Nisoyon and he passes the Nisoyon, we say he has expressed Yiras Shomayim. He's copied the heavens, which were the first object in this world that expressed fear. Is that clear? Okay, that is something which hopefully you heard before. That's a very popular idea of why it's called Yiras Shamayim and not Yiras Elokim, Yiras Hashem, Yiras whatever. Now we go a step further. This is the thing that was new to me, at least. Now we go a little step further. What exactly did Hashem say to the heaven that got the heaven so scared that now suddenly it went from being soft to hard? It froze. It froze in fear, in terror, in awe. What were Hashem's words that brought about this transformation from soft to hard? So I don't have a source for you. I just have a sefer, which Amar Makom, maybe there is a source in the sefer, I didn't pay attention. But it says the words that Hashem said was not words, it was one word. Die. She'omar le'oylomoy dai. Hashem, now, what that means exactly, I don't know, but Hashem said to his entire world at different points in time, dai. But there was a branch, there was an element of the dai that was said to the Shemayim that is what caused the heaven to freeze in place. She'omar, dai. Hashem said, dai.
But before it was soft means it was still changing in fluid motion. Die means
enough.
That's it.
Freeze. This is how it's going to be. Don't move anymore. Die. So it was the word die that brought forth the first expression of Yiras Shamayim. She'omar le'olamoy die. That's where Yiras Shamayim came into existence. Now with that idea, it opens up a whole new world in appreciating tefillin. Tefillin, what is etched into the tefillin? Shakai. On the tefillah shel rosh, there is the shin. On the kesher shel tefillin of the shel rosh is the dalid. And the kesher of the shel yad is the nun. Rashi says this. Therefore, the three letters together is shakai. The three critical elements of the tefillin is the three letters shin, dalid, yud. What's on the shel roish and the kesher shel roish and the kesher shel yad ukeshar tom laos al yodecha? That's the main mitzvah, is to do the kshira, and the kshira is that. So the content that reveals to us an incredible principle: the essence of putting on tefillin is an avodah of yiras shamayim. If the shem Hashem Shakai reminds us, takes us back to the bria. She'omar le'olamoy dai. Shakai is the Rosh Hashanah. She'omar dai. And she'omar dai is where the heavens became firm. And becoming firm in fear of Hashem is an expression of Yiras Shamayim. When we put on the tefillin, what in essence we are doing is we are training ourselves to be Yorei Shamayim. Now we can really appreciate what it says in this pasuk. Virohu kol ame ha'aretz. Kishem Hashem Nikra Olecha V'yoru Mimecha. They will be afraid of you. Why? My Inyan Shmita Eitzel Hasina. Just because the Shem Hashem is Nikra Olecha. Now what does it mean? If you don't know this idea that I told you right now, what's the simple interpretation? The world will see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He likes us. That we are Hashem's nation. Shem Hashem, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Nikra Olecha. Yeah?
Okay. Means called upon for a mission, chosen.
Chosen. When the world sees that we are the chosen nation, they're afraid of us. Why? The world will recognize that we are the Am HaNivchar. Okay, very nice. With the Am HaNivchar, you're special. They're afraid of us. Just because you know that a parent has a favorite son. Okay, you have a father, he has 10 sons. And everyone knows that the father, he loves son number 5. For some reason, there's just something about son number 5 that he likes him. And so when you see him in the street, you're afraid of him. You have great respect for the father. The most fantastic, fabulous respect for the father. And you see son number 5 in the street. Oh, I'm afraid of you because you are your father's chosen son. You're the one.
If you were afraid of the father, then you would be.
Maybe that's what you have to really say. Okay, you have to say something along those lines. I agree with you. But what we just said now, you don't even need to come on to that. Why? Because what is Tfilin? Tfilin is Shin Dalid Yud. Shin Dalid Yud is Sha'omar Le'olamoy Dai. That principle expresses the principle of Yira Shamayim. When the nations of the world see and we are true to form, we are Yirei Shamayim, it's Mida Keneged Mida. When you see a person as a Yirei Shamayim, it's contagious. Not only is it contagious that we fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like Mida Keneged, you fear Hashem, I will make it Mida Keneged Mida, that your enemies, or even your friends, are afraid of you. Yiras HaRoimimus, not just a fear of, you know, of getting in, it means respect. Respect.
Reverence.
Reverence. So it's mamash midik neged mida. V'rohu kol amit ki shem Hashem nikro lecha. So what does this mean? Chazal say, elu hatfilin. Especially the tfilin sheberoish. Because that's where it brings shakai. When the umoy so'olam see that every single day we put on tfilin. Every single day we do an avodah to bring upon ourselves Yirah Shamayim. Wow, look at these people. They work, they harva in the Yirah Shamayim. Mimelitz Mida Keneged Mida V'yoru Mimeka, the Umar Yisraelim will be afraid of us. So this is the Nikra. The Nikra means, it means, literally, Nikra means to be, now here, he's connecting this pasuk. V'hoya kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem yimolet will escape. What does that mean? So here the Michilta says, anyone that calls down the name of Hashem will escape. And then the words go on, and you're reading Pasuk Hei in page 248, the end of the Pasuk, go on to page 250. Ki b'har tzion uv'yushalayim tihye pleita kasher omar Hashem. Like Hashem said elsewhere. Now, where? You have a whole Tanakh, a ganze Tanakh, where Hashem said many, many things. Where in the entire Tanakh did it say that anyone that calls out in Hashem's name is going to escape? I mean, find me the pasuk. If we would be tasked with this mission, we'd be pulling our hair out and going through the whole Tanakh, trying to, is it this pasuk, is it that pasuk? And here the Mechilta says a pasuk that we really would never, ever pick. We would sit and do this for 100 years. Very unlikely we would pick the pasuk that the Mechilta selects for us, which the Mechilta, quoted by the Radak, you know where Hashem said that if you call out in His name, then you're going to escape, you're going to survive. You know where it says that? It says Virohu kol amei haaretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaru mimeka. So the Mechilta is saying, what does it mean? Nikra olecha is called upon you. Nikra means to be called. Here the pasuk says, "Show yikra, yikra b'shem Hashem." Yikra is not the same as nikra. It's not the same. Well, the answer is, well, now that you know that we're dealing with tefillin, what do we do when we put on tefillin? When we wear tefillin, we are doing yikra. We're taking an object which says the letter Shin Dalid Yud, the Shem Hashem, and we're putting it upon ourselves. By putting it upon ourselves, we are doing an expression. We are working on ourselves to be Yorei Shamayim. That's what we're doing. We're being Yikra B'Shem Hashem. We're calling out. We want to fear Hashem. After we put the tefillin on, then it can be read. Because on the tefillin itself, it says the letter Shin, Dal, and the letter Yud. So now we have done the Yikra. We have done the Yikra by putting the embracing what the tefillin represents, what it captures. And after we've done this mitzvah, now, lo and behold, it's etched, embossed into the Shalrosh, and the Kesher of the Shalrosh Shalyat, Shem Yudke Vavke, the Shem Shakai, and the Goyim, they look at it, oh, these people have embraced Yirah Shemayim, and we take a seed, we see the letters, which represent what they have done. The Yaru Mimeka, they're afraid of us. If they're afraid of us, what does that mean? They stay far. The first thing there is when it comes to Yirah is, stay far, far away. Don't chepa. Don't start up with these people. Don't send missiles, projectiles, and make trouble for them. You stay away. If they stay away from us, then by default we will survive whatever is taking the chaos that's taking place in this world. So it's really brilliant how Chazal have selected this pasuk, have forced us to work backwards to understand what exactly is tefillin. And now that we have this idea that I've come across in what the name Shakai captures more than any other name of Hashem, the theme of Yirah Shamayim, our attempt to embrace Yirah Shamayim, and the Midah Keneged Midah, that if we fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's Nikra Lecha, the Shem Hashem. Now it makes a lot of sense why there's going to be such a reality of Yimolet. Okay, let's go to the next Chazal. The next Chazal, we're now four lines from the bottom of page 248. Lo leches b'chol derach, b'gonu l'Hashem's ways, elu hein darkei mokven. So it's very apropos for the Yeren D'Yoyma. We're now coming to the Yimei Aslichos, Yimei Rachamim, and the major, major theme of the Yimei Aslichos is one thing only. The Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. If you notice, everything centers around in these days of Elul, and for sure Yom Kippur, for sure, and Slichos 100%. Rosh Hashanah, it's a bit in disguise. It's there, front and center, but it's much, much more in disguise. The Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. The Pesukim of Tashlich, we say Tashlich, you know, those Pesukim of Tashlich are all, those Pesukim Chazal dwelled upon, Tashlich b'msulos yom kol chatoisam, those Pesukim, in essence, are the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Okay. The Art School, they're the ones who made it famous. Before, of course, sorry, before, but Art School, but no one ever printed in the actual print itself, along the words Tashluch b'msulos Yudke Hashem Rachman v'Chanan, when they printed their Tashluch decades ago, whatever it was, and they did that, and they put Mamish into the text along. So when actually you read these Pesukim, you see exactly to match up against the Yudke, the Yud Gil Midos Harachamim. People, what's this? My high. And you read the commentary, and they explain to you how Tashluch is all about the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, and indeed in the Nusach HaTzvilah, on Rosh Hashanah, not as much, but it's there in other ways. We have, so here it says, Lo leches b'chol derachav, we hear this Chazal, to go in Hashem's ways, that why are the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim so critical? And the answer is because the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim are called the derachim of Hashem. They are the darkei Hashem. Elu hein darkei mokoim. Hashem kel rachum chanun v'oimer kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem yimoleit. In this Maimer Chazal, we're saying anyone that calls out in the name of Hashem, what do you mean b'shem Hashem? Vayavar Hashem al panav vayikra b'shem Hashem. Whole new interpretation in this Maimer Chazal. Vayikra, now, who's Vayikras? Machlokes, is it Hashem or is it Moshe? Two perushim. When the Chaz Vayikra, when he says he sings that those words Vayikra, who's calling out? So some of Farshim say Hashem was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikra, Hashem called out. These are my midos, and I demand of you to emulate them. And other commentators explain Vayikra goes on Moshe. Moshe already knew this. He was already trained. When? Doesn't say when. He was already trained. And Moshe now is coming to invoke the Yud Gimel Midois Harachan. So either Hashem is here teaching him, or Hashem already taught him, and now Moshe is coming to practice, to actually invoke, actually to use what he has been taught. It's a very powerful machlokes. What exactly do we do when we say those psukim? When we say, are we now learning? You know, the highlight of the slichos, we say these psukim, and we don't just say the psukim. We introduce it with Vayikra. So we're imitating whatever happened in that pasuk. So what are we doing? Is the avoida of saying slichos to learn from Hashem? Hashem is calling out Vayikra. So what are we doing really? We're listening. If Hashem is calling out Vayikra, and when we say Hashem, Hashem, Kelrachum Mechanon, it's not to say it, because we were not the ones who said this. Hashem said it. So what are we doing? We're listening. To be a good listener. Or, no. Other Rishonim explain, Vayikra means Moshe said it. Moshe was begging Hashem. Hashem, these are your midos. Have rachmonis upon us. How did Moshe know these were the midos? Hashem taught him before. This is old. He taught him this already before in the Shemayim. And it says that he taught him Hashem was nisatev, kakashlech tzibur. And Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu this in advance. And now Moshe is coming to beg. So what is the correct interpretation? Both. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. When we say slichos, the shleimus of saying slichos is mitzad echad, to be a mevakesh, to learn. We're here to listen. We're here to observe, to listen, to become better people by listening to Hashem's demands. Mitzad sheni, we're here to beg Hashem. Mitzad sheni vayikra, we already know it. We know what we have to do. We have to just put into action. We have to beg Hashem by saying the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachmim. And look what it says over here. It says over here in the times of Mashiach, V'hoya Asher Yikra, those who will call out B'Shem Hashem Yimolet. It's very appropriate for the Yomim Noirayim. This time of the year, Chazal make it very clear. Kol Boye Oilom Oivrim Lefanav Kifnei Morayim. The entire world is judged. Not just us, but Acheinu Bnei Yisrael, who never given the opportunity to a Jewish education and don't even know Aleph Beis. They don't even know what the Yud Gil Midos Harachamim. Forget it. They don't even know what the Aleph Beis is. Rachman Litzlan. They say there must be at least 10 million of those Jews in America alone. They don't have no clue what Yiddishkeit is about. Do they even know that they're Jewish? Even that's debatable. If these 10 million people, if you'll ask them and ask them, are you Jewish? If they'll say they're Jewish. But there definitely are at least 10 million Jews that we can identify today in America who are Jewish. They have no clue. And Rachman al-Islan, they are judged on the Yamim Noirahim, just like every people who do know the secret. And the Goyim, same thing. The Goyim, 7 billion non-Jews in this world, they know. They don't know nothing. They are being judged on the Yemei Hadin like everyone else. Kol boye oylam oyrim lefanav kivnei marayim. And what does it say? Who will survive? Who will be yimolate? It says in the pasuk, only the ones, v'hoya kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem. Only those who take advantage of the Shem Hashem, Vayavar Hashem Alpana Vayikra, the Shem Hashem, Vayomer, Hashem Hashem, Vayikra, those who call out in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Hashem, B'Shem Hashem, they are the ones who have hope of Yimolet. I know you'll ask, we find people who don't know from the Aleph Beis, they do very well in this world. And there are people who shuckle very hard, and they say Hashem Hashem, unfortunately they don't do so well. Okay, it's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. I don't have an answer. No one has an answer. Tzadik v'ra'lo in Russia v'toivloi. We don't have an answer to anything. But this is what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says if you want to have a chance to escape, kol Hashem, it's the slichos, the yod gimel midos harachamim. Who would ever think this to pshat in the pasuk if not for the Maimon Chazal? There's an awesome Maimon Chazal over here that explains this idea. So again, read the words one more time over here. Lelaches Elohim darkei makom, Hashem kol racham v'chaim v'omer kol hashikra b'shem Hashem yimolet v'yeich efshel lo l'adam likvei b'shmoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can you call on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? Ela ma hamakom nikro is called rachum v'chanun af ata hevei rachum v'chanun v'oisei ma naschina makol, and you should be kind to all people. L'kach nemar kol asher yikra b'shem Hashem Yimolate. That's exactly what the pasuk of here means, is to go and emulate Hashem's ways, to go in His ways. The Yud Gimel Midas. We also have the people of Rachamim, to show other people Rachmanis. Okay, next Maimon Chazal, next page, turning the page to page 250, on the right side, on the bottom. Uvasir Ridim Asher Hashem Korei Omar Rabbi Elazar Kol Baye She'ein Divrei Torah Nishmoim Boy Balayla Eish Oichalta. Very frightening words. A bias in which there is no learning taking place at night will be consumed by fire. Shnemar. It says here in Iyov. It says Kol Choshech Tamun Litzvunav. All darkness is put aside for those that are hidden away. To Ochlehu Eish Loinupach. They will be consumed by a fire that has not been blown, meaning a very intense fire. Yera sarid b'holo, it will be evil for the survivor in his tent. So what does that mean exactly? What is it over here? Ein, so he explains, ein sarid ela talmid chacham. Shenemar, uvasiridim asher Hashem korei. The Saridim means the survivors, which call out to Hashem, or when we have two perushim for this pasuk, either to the Saridim who call out to Hashem, or to the Saridim who Hashem calls out to. I preferred the perush to Hashem calls out to, and that fits very well with what this Maimon Chazal, which means, in the word Sarid is a Talmid Chacham. A student, a Talmud Chacham, and as we mentioned last week, is that there's a dialogue. The pasuk begins Asher Yikra B'Shem Hashem, and concludes Asher Hashem Korei. It's a famous vart. Everyone says this. I remember hearing it the first time I heard this was from. I heard it in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Then subsequently, I heard it in the name of many other Gedolei Yisrael. Is when you daven, you speak to Hashem. When you learn, Hashem is speaking to you. A special hashkacha, holy person, when he learns, the hashkacha of what he is learning, and the thoughts that go through his mind in the process of learning and being, you know, we're talking about a serious learning, a learning where you really, fully, deeply immersed in learning, there's a special siyata d'shmaya, and the thoughts that are circulating in your mind, or the dialogue, is divine, and there are messages there for you, whether you realize it or not. And it's Ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to you. So this speech comes through the study of Torah. How did Lubavitcher Rebbe know that? That it means Mamash Destruction, this Chazal. Chazal says the word Sarid refers to a Talmud Chacham. How do you know it refers to a Talmud Chacham? Uva Saridim Asher Hashem Korei. Hashem is calling out to you. Hashem is calling out to you through you being a Talmud Chacham, meaning through your study of Torah, Hashem is speaking to you. Parallel to you speaking to Hashem through the Koyach of Tefillah. And here, what is this Chazal doing? It's taking the word Sarid in this pasuk, who now we have now proven it means a Talmud Chacham, and we punch this into the pasuk in Iyov, where otherwise we would not know what it means. And now we can understand that when it says there, Aish loinupach yera sarid ve'oholo, it will be sarid. It will be a sarid, meaning ve'oholo. It will be evil for the Talmud Chacham in his tent. Why will it be evil for the Talmud Chacham in his tent? Because he didn't learn. In this context, now that we know, I don't have a grasp of the full drasha. I should look at the pasuk, maybe to delve into the pasuk, get the full idea of the pasuk. But there it says, because this person did have the ability to study Torah, and that is why he's called a sorid. And in his tent, meaning at night, there was no study of Torah. Because of that, the pasuk goes on to say there's going to be a fire in his tent. Something along those lines. But what we need to extract from this pasuk over here is the idea that the word sorid here means a Talmud Chacham. Okay, next, last chazal here, chamisha, there are five people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, machmir zalem ba'atzmai, Elohim, there are five things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself declares. He does not leave this to angels. There are five different life-altering events, or life-altering gezeras, which are declared directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in regard to a person, Elohim, a parnos, if a person will merit to support other people. Rav, famine, vasoiva, satiation, the cheref, achmon l'tzlan, death by sword, and the survivors. Ufleite cheref. How do we know? And then this chazal goes on, it's Masechta Kala. Kala Rabosi, it's a medrash. Anyone ever learned this? It's Masechta from Masechta Ketanos. Okay, Masechta Ketanos, Kala Rabosi. And there it says, how do you know, ufleite cheref, those who escape by sword, dechsev, the there are psukim for each one of these five things, and the pasuk that says that the Baruch Hu himself is the one who handpicks a survivor, is what it says here, uvasiridim asher Hashem korei, the survivors. A survivor was handpicked by Hashem. He was from the kiruei ho'eda. He was from the those who were invited, those who were choshuv enough to be personally invited with an invitation. Der Hagav is a very fascinating medrash, is that when you see people who are a parnes, what does the parnes mean exactly? Some will tell you parnes means a politician, it means a leader, it means a rav, it means
an askin.
Okay, but
another word that is
abused.
No
it's been abused. Abused by the FJJ beyond recognition. But the word parnes really means a person who supports someone. A philanthropist. A person we find that he has the koyach to give, takes responsibility for the tzibur. So you wonder sometimes, why him? You see people who are, they're good people, they have billions of dollars, and they give. And they give, they really give a lot. They give away a good chunk of their wealth. And you say to yourself, if I had billions of dollars, I would do the same. So why him and not me? Why he's, you know, I know him from his youth. He's nothing special. I don't consider him to be anything special. You know, you'll always find something good about a person. You'll always, in hindsight, what was his good midah that he was zoichet to be such a selected person? The emes is, when everything's said and done, we really don't know. When everything is said and done, it's your handpicked. That's really the bottom line. All of these things, these are five very frightening things. Five things is to be a parnes, to be zoichet, to merit, to be the person who's instrumental in taking responsibility for other people, supporting them, and rachmanot on people who die, cheref, whatever that means, and people who starve. What? A violent death, famine, soiva, cheref, and this, I think this, from all of them the most, I think we appreciate the most, is the last one that we just said now, possibly as a survivor. You read it, you always read these Holocaust stories, and, you know, these books, and these miraculous, people who write the books are the survivors. The people who didn't survive, they're not around to write the books. And, no, for every survivor, they write in the book, every step of the way, every different tukufa, everyone else died. Everyone was taken to the death. For some reason, I survived. You go to the next step. Everyone died. I survived. Next step. Everyone died. I'm still here. And they're here to write about it, to tell us about it today. And all these other people, they also have stories to tell. If they would have been alive, they could have wrote a book. They could have wrote a book just as magnificent, would have been a bestseller, if just they would have made it one more step.
So what happened? Who knows? No one knows. These people are handpicked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we don't really understand. It's only the one who Hashem calls out. Okay, now, before we go further, we mentioned here in passing the pasuk about Dom, Vo'esh, V'simoy Sashan, and then the pasuk mentioned Hashemesh Yehofech L'choyshech, V'hayoreach, and the moon will turn into blood. Lefnei, before Bo Yoyim Hashem, HaGadol V'hanayra. Hashem Bechol, please fill us in on some of...
Yeah, what I want to say, not a door tour, just so happens I took an interest in this subject. Last week we talked about eclipses for a bit. We don't have our resident astronomy expert here, so if you want technical stuff, you'll have to ask Shmuel when he comes back. But a few weeks ago, there was an eclipse.
A lunar
eclipse. All right, you know what? I got you. It was not visible here in North America, but it was visible in a number of other parts of the world, including Eretz Israel. In fact, my brother informed me that he saw the eclipse coming up from Shul on that Friday night a few weeks ago. When he saw, the people who saw it, saw that the moon had this blood red color. That's called a blood moon. It doesn't happen all that often. But I want to go back 10 years. 10 years ago, there was a certain preacher. He happened to be a Meshubad, and he was looking into this phenomenon based on they know this pasuk, you know, that the sun will go dark and the moon will turn to blood. And they have a couple of verses in their own, but which basically are a ripoff of Yoel. And he noticed that there's this other phenomenon that's a little less frequent, and in which there's a sequence of four blood moons 6 months apart from one another. So this is back in 08, he noted that there would a set of four is called a tetrad. Like a triad is a set of three, a tetrad is a set of four of these. And he saw that the next tetrad would take place in September 2014, April and September of 2015, and then the fourth one in April of 2016. Now, having been born Jewish, he knew there was such a thing as a Jewish calendar, and he knew that we have a lunar calendar. So he looked at the calendar dates on the Jewish calendar, and he saw that the tetrad would occur first night of Sukkot, first night of Pesach, first night of Sukkot, first night of Pesach. So, now, Goyim, clergy and so on, are very much interested in looking for signs of the apocalypse. Goyim are very interested in what's called eschatology, the study of the end times. Jews, not so much. And so he took this upcoming tetrad to mean that maybe this is a sign of the apocalypse that they're looking for.
What is the apocalypse?
That's a different story. Another different story.
We have to be saying
So now fast forward to 2014. And during the year 2014 there was a certain pastor who was very, very well known, and he had read about this theory about the tetrads, and he had a different angle on it. And he claimed that he looked up data from NASA, and when did tetrads occur? And he claims, and I tried to look up the data because I heard about this. I couldn't find any of this data, but he said he did. And he claims that these things take place in years in which something significant happens either to the Jewish people or to Eretz Yisrael. He claims there was a tetrad in 1492, the year of the expulsion. He also claimed that there was a tetrad in 1948. Okay? So he said that therefore it must mean that during this interval that something very significant is going to happen either in the land of Israel or to the Jewish people. Okay, so that interval has passed, and I don't know, if you were looking to see Mount War in Gaza, not so much. The Iran deal, maybe, not so much. So apparently, he doesn't get it right all of the time, in either case. In fact, there were other Christian leaders who disagreed with this theory, but I want to tell you what a couple of scientists wrote in a journal. They said that since the Jewish calendar is lunar, 1/6 of all eclipses will occur during Passover or Sukkot. And therefore, so big deal. Okay, so it happens on our holiday.
It's also got to be on the 15th.
Hang on. Obviously. Furthermore, this is an interesting fact, there have been 62 tetrads since the first century, in the last 2,000 years, and only 8 of them have coincided with both holidays. So, okay, they throw in the fact that 3 of the 4 eclipses in the tetrad, this last one, were not even visible in Israel. So, I think we touched on that subject, whether an eclipse has to be visible here or in Eretz Yisrael or whatever. But anyway, this was their scientific approach to debunking the significance of the blood moon.
Fascinating. Very, very fascinating. Yeshar koach. Can you explain this? Why does it become a blood moon? Why does it turn red? Why?
I told you, you got to ask all those questions. Mm-hmm. But I have a picture of it. It
must be the angle of the sun, that's
one. The angle? Yeah.
Red dust. When's the next one?
You know, the full moon and lunar eclipse could only be on the 50th of the moon.
Because that's the only way of full moon. That's only when you have the full moon. So it has to be Pesach, right?
So out of the 12 months...
The only that's what he said. That's what he said. So is the statistic significant? Anyway, it has to be on the time of Rosh, on the Yom Tov. Yom Tov is always the 50th. The Sukkot is the Pesach. So that's the question. That's exactly what he's saying. Is if it happens 1 in 6 times, is that really so significant? Because that's anyway when it has to happen, when it's Yom Tov. Okay, but then he said, can you see the Eretz Yisrael? Can you not see the Eretz Yisrael? All right, who knows these things? These are very...
It's almost 10% of the full amount.
Okay, that's the question. What are the numbers? What is the significance of these numbers? All right. Before we go further, let's do the Mincha Gedolah. Okay, Mincha Gedolah and Chumash Hanach. We did already the Mincha Gedolah, I believe, until the end of the parak. Yes, let's just do a short Chumash Hanach. Not so short, but let's just take a look at the Chidah. Let's finish up this parak with the Chidah on page 249. 249, Kol Asher Yikra B'Shem Hashem Yimolet. Okay, everyone see Chumash Hanach 249. Omer B'Yushalmi V'Soif B'Rochis Omer B'Leksandri. Uvda HaBechana. This was exactly the Maimon Chazal that was quoted by the Likutei Shas. And then we had a little trouble doing it. Let's try to see how we maybe a little more clarity over here. Omer B'Yushalmi V'Soif B'Rochis Omer B'Leksandri. Uvda HaBechad Arachoin. There was a story. Bechad Arachoin Bishmei Alexandros, one of the leaders. Arachoin is like a duke or whatever it is. Bishmei, his name was Alexandros.
It's from the Greek arch. Arch meaning
archbishop.
High.
One of the
archbishop.
Arch, right. So one of the leaders. And his name was Bishmei Alexandros. His name was Alexandros. Vahavi Koin Bidoin Chad Listim, and he was judging a robber. They caught a thief, and this leader was judging him. Omar Lake.
Think of the term arkaos.
Alcoholist courts.
Yeah.
Courts, secular courts.
But it's from that
term. Fascinating. It comes from that same shirish, it means an authority, a higher authority. Omalais, we said in Mashimcha, what's your name? Alexander. My name is Alexander. Omar Alexandrus. Panai Alexander. Alexandrus. Omar said, Alexandrus Panai Alexander. So, Alexandros is, I think it means it's similar to Alexander. Alexandros, my name is similar to your name.
You're obviously named for the same person.
Okay, so, Mami Sheshmoy Nitzol, and because of that, what happened? Because this person said to him, your name is Alexander, and my name is Alexandros, so therefore I'm not going to kill you. Okay, isn't that amazing? You go to court and they say, oh wow, we have the same name. I'm not going to kill you. Because...
It would be like killing himself.
Right, it's like superstitious somehow, or I don't know, maybe they'll get confused and die in the court. They'll sign off an order to kill this guy. The next morning, the marshal will come to the judge's house to take him to be killed. The marshal will get confused. Oh, it says here, I have an order to kill this guy. So he's signing his own death. His own warrant for his own death. His own death warrant. So they say, oh, I'm not going to kill you. I don't want there to be any confusion. I know we don't hire the best, the brightest, and the smartest people here
in
the marshal. So therefore, you know what? I'm not going to kill you. So this was the Maisa. The Maisa was, you have the same name as me, therefore I'm not going to kill you. Comments the Gemara that therefore Klal Yisrael, we are called by Hashem's name. This principle works in our favor. Because since we are called B'Shem Hashem, if we're guilty, Hashem is not going to kill you. I'm not going to cause you harm, because by causing you harm, I'm causing myself harm, because we share the same name. Now, this is a very difficult chazal, because by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the difference between, that was Eiv. Eiv said to Hashem, maybe, why are you causing me to suffer so much? Maybe you made a mistake. You're confusing Eiv with Oyev. So Hashem says, excuse me, Eif, and a person on his head, there are probably, I don't know how many thousands of hairs there are on the head, and every single hair has its own pore, and if it would happen that two hairs would come out of the same pore, I don't know what this means, the world would be destroyed. Okay, I don't know what that means exactly, but that's what it says in the Gemara.
Everything has its place.
So therefore, if I don't make a mistake between two, a schut hasara, which represents the smallest object in this world, and it's in the car, its source, I don't make a mistake between Eoiv and Oyev. I know who you are. Yeah.
I think there's a similar idea where a person who is executed is not left to hang around.
It's a disgrace to Hashem. It's a disgrace. He should be exposed. He should be left hanging because the person is creative. It's a very good, exactly the same idea. So how do you reconcile that Maimon Chazal with what it says over here? Let's read the first. Let's finish over here. So Mami Sheshmoy Kishen Basar V'Da'am Nitzal Mishet Toyle B'Toyle B'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Al Achas Kama V'Kama. So therefore, if Madach by human beings this principle operates. So certainly a person who, like he's lightening a little bit, a person who connects himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll be spared. Hadohu dichsev. This is what it says in our pasuk over here. Kol hanikra b'shem Hashem yimolet ad kan l'shoine. This is the nusach of the Yerushalmi. The nusach zo. As I just said, how do you reconcile this? What it says over here, that in fact, with Hashem does not make a mistake between Eoiv and Oyev.
No, I don't know. Everyone could call out to the Eivish. You're in
Rachamim.
A threatening situation. God help me, save me from this guy who's going to kill me. Is that all matter?
Rachamim.
Or do you have to really have the problem? What
I don't know. Every situation obviously is different. We can't generalize. We know that if a person is misfiled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. There's no tefillah that goes unanswered. Mitzad Sheni, you can't hold Hashem hostage and demand now, right now, I need to be saved. You have to, tefillah is, I'm going to talk about this later on.
Tfilos, you have to give Hashem. I mean, Hashem is infinite. Hashem is whatever he wants. But al derech hateva, you got to give Hashem a chance. We start praying for a child with a bris. The child is born. Kishem, Shmir, what do you pray? You pray for Shidduchim. You pray for Torah. Come on, the kid's 8 days old. You already worried about Shidduchim. Kishem, Shnichnas, the bris. Can you connect the Torah? Ulechopo. Ulemasim Toivim. 8 day old kid, you already worry. You need brachas right from the whole tzibur that you should get a good Shidduch. And he should be a Talmud Chacham. And he should do Maisim Toivim. The answer is yes. I always wonder that certain people have a hard time in Shidduchim. Maybe by the I wonder if I have a videotape of their bris mila. Do the people actually say this? They give the bracha. You go to a bris mila. Don't underestimate the tzila you mispala for the child. Instead of talking to the next guy and running ready for the bagels and lox, there's a tzila. Kishem shenichnas lebris can yikones l'toira ulechuba ulemasim tovim. Do you know how many children there are today struggle to learn? And how many parents are pulling out their hair trying to find the right yeshiva so that their child should be a Yodea Sefer? I'm not even talking about the Talmud Chacham. Just at least be a Yodea Sefer.
To appreciate it.
And you know how many parents are pulling out of their hair having a hard time in Shidduchim? Both boys and girls, boys also. And people masen tov, Yishun Rachmanos, open up a newspaper and read, oy, gebal, another Chil Hashem. This guy did this. This guy did that. Instead of opening up a newspaper and seeing a Meisim Toiv Mekiddush Hashem, so you know where it all starts. It starts when the baby is 8 days old, because you can't hold Hashem hostage. You can't expect when you're in a matzav of sorrow. Oh, I'll be mispal right now. A miracle is going to happen. Shemayim is going to open up, and everything is going to just work out right fine. You got to prepare. It takes years of effort. It takes hachana. Everything has to go according to plan. Like I told you last week from Salvation and Kohen Kimmel, it's the best thing I ever said. From Salvation is that Ki Ha'odom Eitz Hasadeh. What does it mean? There's no shortcuts in life. You never heard of someone taking a tree and genetically engineering the tree where the tree can go. You go to California, they go to see these trees that are 500 years old, 1,000 years old, and they show you the wings, and they show you. So tell me, is there any technique today to go genetically engineer that in 5 minutes we're going to have the same exact tree you have in California that's 1,000 years old with all of the features? Shtus! This is the way the Bria is. It takes time. You plant, it has to grow. There are seasons. It takes years and years and years until you can produce it, you can nurture, you can develop a beautiful tree. There are no shortcuts when it comes to a tree. And by human beings, the same thing. Ki ha'odom eitz hasadeh. There are no shortcuts. So when it comes to tefillah as well, tefillah is a process. You have to be mispalel from the very, very beginning. Everything should fall into place and have this siyata, the shmaya. Everything works out just right. Now, therefore, going back to this thing over here, so I don't know, l'chol yikuv emes, here's a very kasha, I don't know the answer. We have beautiful Chazal telling us that if a person, you find in the world, that a person shares the same name as someone else, like the Shbar Kuh as Rachmanis, Hashem as Rachmanis, so too when it comes to someone who is toiling in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a person connects himself to Hashem, that basically means you are called by Hashem's name. When they look at a Jew, they're looking at Hashem. Kol Hanikra V'Shem Hashem. If you're called by Hashem's name, like this fellow was called Alexander, and he was similar to the name of the Duke, Alexandros, that Yimolate, he got a pass. So too, we will get a pass because we connect to Hashem. Ad Kan L'Shonei. V'Nuscha Zo, this Nusach, Hevesi B'Kuntresi, I brought down in my Chidor writes in his Kuntres, the Dikdakti Divri HaYushalmi, and I analyzed the precise words the Yushalmi to come our Misha Toilet Bitchoni Vekalish Baruch Hu the Chulu. The Ato and now, Reisi I have seen Shanuscha Haniskere Shevesi the Kuntresi he Bein Yaklev, the Mamori HaYushalmi the Brochas. Okay, it was found in the Ein Yaakov, in the Mamore HaYerushalmi of Brachos. Now, basically, in the Ein Yaakov, Ein Yaakov does not generally have Yerushalmi. There are a few snippets. There are a few snippets of Yerushalmi that snuck their way in into the Ein Yaakov. How they got there, I don't know.
That's why he didn't see them at first.
He did not. Well, did not
he
see.
He no doubt would have been familiar with the regular Ein Yaakov on Bavli.
Yeah.
He probably didn't see.
But he said he did see it.
Not at first, because he's saying,
"Oh, now I saw it.
I wrote this as my own thought, and now I
Atar Isi
Anuska.
It's found in the whatever this means, I don't know. The Atar Isi Ashanuska and his Kerisha basically the Kutresi the In Yaakov the Mamari and Yerushalmi the Brachos. It's quoted as one of the Mamari and Brachos. All of them Yerushalmi Shav Sefer Yefei Mare came different editions. In the edition called the Yefei Mare, you know the Chido was a more contemporary person. Okay, he's not from the, so he had the really were different editions of the Yerushalmi at that point in time. So he's quoting this edition of the Yerushalmi, the Yefei Mare Hanuska came. Here's a different nusach, a naya nusach. In this story between this Alexandrois, in Misha Shmoy Kishem Basav Gachim Yitzol, Misha Shmoy Kishem Shalakodesh Baruch Hu Lachas Kavakamo Hadodok Siv. The Siv Kol Anikum Shem Hashem Yimolait Ad Tam Lashonai. A different nusach, not a person who's toile, a person who connects himself, who depends upon a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's already, that already means there's effort. You've already put effort into Shuva. I connect to Hashem. Therefore, it's deserving. Hashem has Rachmanis. In this Nusach that he's bringing now, you don't have to do anything. It's automatic. Just Nichus. Just the fact that you are a Jew, and a Jew by definition carries the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, automatically you're going to be saved. The Perush Rav Yefei Marei. And the one who wrote this edition, Yifei Mare, Shaholchem Bidrachov, V'nikroim Rachum V'chanon, there also, in that edition, he explains it doesn't mean just you get a free pass. There's no such thing as getting a free pass. This only means a person has to put the effort to go in Hashem's ways. Inami, Shenikroim Amoy V'nachalosa, we're called his nation. Okay, Ayin Sham V'alder Chasoid Osi Shapir, whatever that means.
What's that?
Yeah.
Doesn't this last version mean that only if you have a name with Hashem's name in it? Like,
no, I don't think so.
Or
I think Klal Yisrael. That's what it says. We're part of Klal Yisrael. When a goy looks at a Jew, what do they think about? Hashem, they think about Hashem. This is God's chosen nation. So we are.
But
also, Kel. Yisrael, Yoshar Kel, Yishar Kel, different Hashem's name. We are Hashem. We are part of the Jewish people. So in the word Yisrael, we have Aleph Lamed Kel. But besides that, just the general idea is that we represent Hashem. The fact that we represent Hashem is similar to the story. I'm not going to kill you because you have the same name as me. So here as well, now in this edition, the only difference in this edition is that he's not saying the word hanitle b'shmoy. Hanitle b'shmoy has a connotation that the person has to connect himself, has to put in the effort to identify with Hashem. It's not automatic. In the second edition, it does not say the word nitla. It just says if your name is like Hashem's name, then you get a pass. And the Mechaber of this edition of the Yerushalmi says, don't get carried away here, just because you have the same name as the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the telephone book, does not mean you're getting a free pass. It means also, like in the other edition, it means you have to go in Hashem's ways. You have to actually be with the program. We always say, be with the program. Uvezeh pirashti ma shenemar, ma ta'aseh l'shimcha ha-gadol, in Yeshua, when Yeshua said to Hashem, what's going to be with your great name? It's a Hashem, if you're going to allow us to be destroyed, this is a theme which appears so many times, it's an argument that we make, Hashem, we represent you, even if we identify with you, and that's how the world looks at us, and therefore, even if we are not deserving in our own right, it's a chilul for your name, because we are perceived in the world as being your representatives. Gam ha-shenemar aseh l'man shemecha, the nusach ha-tfilah. Gam ha-shenemar ki lo yitoish Hashem es amo bavur shemoy ha-godol.
even though we may not be deserving, the fact that we carry Hashem's name, it goes to this story in the Yerushalmi. Gam Hashanema Rishim Choleinu Nigra Uvimokim Acher Kosavti Kutzas Yosef Bezeh Besiyat Deshmaya V'doik Hedev V'ayim Asher Kosav Harav Eish Dos B'parashas Nosoy Daf Nun U'kvar Kosavti Dal Derech Hasoy Osh Shafir V'dayi Bozeh. That is enough, and that for us concludes Perek Gimel. In Yirtz Hashem, tomorrow we begin Perek Dalet. How's the microphone? Sound good?
Yes.
A little too husky, like.
Is it an echo? A little bit of an echo. Maybe I'll move it away a little bit, further away.
If anyone's interested, I'm going.